either reserve. You're listening to leaders.com.
Alhamdulillahi wa kafa. Wassalamun ala ibadihi allazeen astafa. Amma ba'd. Fa'audhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillahi ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. والنجم إذا هوى ما ضل صاحبكم وما غوى وما ينطق عن الهوى إن هو إلا وحي يوحى علمه شديد القوى صدق الله العظيم سبحان ربك رب العزة أما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد مبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد مبارك وسلم Honorable brothers in Islam, mothers and sisters listening at home, inshallah in our session tonight, as we are coming towards the end of the month of Rajab, I feel that it's important and very appropriate that we make dhikr and mentioning of one of the greatest miracles that has been given to our beloved Nabi Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the month of Rajab. And this miracle is actually also connected to revelation wahi. And so the miracle, which is very famous, in fact books have been written just on this title, Mi'rajun Nabi, the Mi'raj, the ascension of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Mi'raj is this miraculous journey, a journey that was prepared for the greatest Nabi, Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa Mujtaba sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One part of this journey is from one destination to another destination in this dunya, and the second part is from this dunya towards the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and even further. And so this honor was given to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Generally what happens is that insan in his nature, in his fitrat, he has this habit that if he can see something, then he will accept very quickly, he will believe. If he can see something, then he will believe. Otherwise, to convince him, you might need a lot of time, unless Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has opened his heart. And so, revelation that comes to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is from the heavens, and directly transmitted and sealed in the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with Jibreel Amin. Now, nobody can see Jibreel Amin and also revelation. And the reason for that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not lifted the veils of the unseen world, because this dunya is a test. This dunya is a test. And so, in a test, nothing is revealed. So if you are going to sit for exams, they won't tell you what the questions are. And so, this dunya is a test also. However, out of the infinite mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah has made it such that the revelation that came to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam people will have the opportunity in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam to meet him, to talk to him. And so one method of knowledge that is transferred from one generation to another generation is by this oral declaration. This oral declaration, that means that you have said something. So for an example, a Sahabi will say, I have seen Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and he said this. And then somebody will pick it up from that Sahabi, and then that other person will pick it from the Tabi'een, and then the Tabi'een, and this goes on. So this is also one very important method of knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to insan. And so when Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam was invited for this journey, for people to actually hear firsthand of what this Nabi had seen, then that in itself will mean that the iman will become even more stronger. The iman will become even more stronger. And so Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam's journey begins when he was in the room of Hazrat Umme Hani. And so when he was in the room of Umme Hani in the city of Makkah, then Malaika angels came down, and from the angels you had Hazrat Mikail and Hazrat Jibrail alayhi salam. They took Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam to where the Kaaba is today in the Mataf. So we know that building, that Kaaba. And so if you look at the Kaaba, one side of the Kaaba, you have the double door and then you have the Hajar, the Hajar-e-Aswad. And as you move and you start your tawaf, and then you come to this semicircle, you come to this open area, it's like a semicircle. That semicircle is actually named as Hatim. What is it? Hatim. And so this journey of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam's Mi'raj starts from the Hatim. Where does it start from? From the Hatim. Now, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted, then the journey would start straight away from the house of Umme Hani. It was possible. Why specifically Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam is taken to the Hatim where the Kaaba is, and then the journey starts? Ulama have explained, there are two words that we need to understand. One is makan and one is maqam. What is it? Makan and maqam. Makan means a place. What is it? The most sacred place, mashallah, in this dunya that we live in is Kaaba. What is it? This is the first building that was constructed. And this is mentioned in the Quran, إِنَّ أَوَّلَ بَيْتٍ وُضِعَ لِلنَّاسِ, that the very first building in this dunya is Baytullah Sharif. So there is no other building that holds such honor, subhanallah, in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like the Kaaba. And so when the most honorable building to Allah is Baytullah Sharif, and then the most honorable from the creation of Allah is who? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So it would only be right for Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam to begin his journey from this location. So Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam started his journey from this location. But before this journey, preparation was done for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now what is the preparation and why the preparation? This preparation, in simple words, for us to understand, and the life and the seerah of Huzur alayhi salam is very important for us to understand, that this miraculous operation that had taken place with the body of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So in the Hatim area, Jibreel alayhi salatu was salam had opened up the chest of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the chest was opened up and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was awake. And of course no pain whatsoever. The chest was opened up and then the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was washed. The heart of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was washed. This is called shaqqe sadr. What is it called? Shaqqe sadr. The Sina Mubarak, the chest that the angel had opened up. Now, why was there a need for this to happen? It is very simple when we understand that when a person is going to visit someone who is very, very special, when a person is going to visit someone who is very, very special, and in fact on our special occasions, what do we do first? We do ghusl. What do we do? Ghusl. Don't we do ghusl? Ghusl means to take a bath. So when you are going to visit someone very special, what do we do? We take ghusl. Jumu'ah we take ghusl. Eid day we take ghusl. If you are going to meet someone, you take ghusl. You know, preparation, someone who's going to be very special, you take ghusl. So Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's journey is also very, very special. Now this ghusl was not the ghusl for the body. Why? Because this journey is not connected to this dunya. This journey is not in reference to this world. This journey is in reference to the hereafter, to the heavens, to the celestial creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that is why the body was not given the ghusl, the heart was given the ghusl. Brothers, do we understand? Because you are visiting what? Allah, the heavens. And so when you are visiting the heavens, it's not your body. Your body is connected to this dunya. So you can clean your body. But because this is much more than that, and so the most precious organ in your body is your heart. So ghusl was given to the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And ulama have also written another very important wisdom, why the heart was washed. And I always say this to many people, mashallah, that when you have problems in the family, when you have problems in the family, the hearts are divided. The hearts are divided. There is a child that is giving you a lot of problem, a lot of grief. Or there are some issues. Husband and wife finding it very, very difficult. Then the best location for them to go is to Makkah Sharif. And sit in front of the Kaaba. Sit in front of the Kaaba. The Kaaba is that zone which will repair your heart. What does it do? It will repair your heart. It will make life very, very easy for you. But of course, that person needs to have that intention and that commitment that Bari Ta'ala, I am sitting in front of this beautiful Kaaba, that Ya Allah, these are my issues. And when somebody wants to repent and change his life and do tawbah, you will see that this is the best location. How many times you have seen, mashallah, that people who were not praying namaz, people who were not praying namaz, they went for umrah, they came back, they were regular in their salah. We've seen that so many times. They were not regular in their salah. They went for umrah. Mashallah. They are now regular in their salah. How many times we have seen that our mothers and sisters were not even wearing the headscarf. Not talking about the niqab, the headscarf. But they went for umrah. They went for hajj. They saw Baytullah Sharif. There is a change in the heart and mashallah, when they come back, they want to put on the scarf. Subhanallah. So that is the markaz of hidayat. What is it? the markaz of hidayat. And I always say to my brothers who are new to Islam that mashallah, save up money and mashallah, make the most and undertake this journey. What is it? Undertake this journey all the time. Very, very important. Mashallah, the more you go, the better it is. And if you want to become rich, there is one nuskha. If you want to become, how many people want to become rich here? Can you raise your hands? Only one truthful man. The rest, some banavati hai, acting. Mashallah. Go for hajj all the time. When you keep on going for hajj, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make you a millionaire. What is it? Your bank balance will open up. Now you people are wondering, how is it possible for me to go for hajj? How much does hajj cost? How much does hajj cost? Well, whatever the hadith is, that when you are doing hajj, that blows away faqr. What does it do? Your poverty will be blown away. Subhanallah. And these are the words of Nabiyyu Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So khair, I don't want to drift away from my topic. So Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's journey starts from the Hatim, this location. Now, shaitan might put in your mind, why was the heart of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam al-iyadhu billah not at that level before, that the heart needed to be washed? Never. Not at all. In fact, this heart was washed only to show greater honor. What is it? To show greater honor. That is all. In the case of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that is it. Just like how we are told to read Durood Sharif. Why? Allah's Nabi, his status is very high. But by you reading Durood Sharif, mashallah, this shows the honor and the respect that Allah has given to this great Nabi. So this maqam, and also to show people that this building, this city, this is the location where a person can actually come and mend his relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is something that is very, very important. Now, Baytullah Sharif Kaaba, this building Kaaba, subhanallah, that square that you see, all the way on top, right on top, is also another Kaaba, which is Baytul Ma'mur. What is it? That is why the mas'ala for masjid. So, from the Kaaba going all the way on top, Baytul Ma'mur, that entire zone is called Qibla. What is it? That entire zone is called Qibla. Now, a masjid. What is a masjid? A masjid is this. What is a masjid? Masjid is like this. Masjid-e Umar. And a masjid. A masjid which is purpose built. A masjid which is purpose built. Not a musalla. Musalla will have different masail. A musalla will have a different. A musalla means that it is a jamaat khana to facilitate where people can come and perform namaz. But a masjid has different laws. And so a masjid means a place which is waqf in the name of Allah. So you can't take the Quran at home. You can't take anything in which it is written waqf. What is it? Waqf. Why? Because that is waqf for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that means that this remains a masjid from here all the way on top to the arsh. What is it? All the way on top, it is a masjid. So you can't sell Masjid-e Umar, and you can't buy Masjid-e Umar. Yes. You can sell other properties close by for a crazy price, right? But you can't sell Masjid-e Umar, and you can't buy Masjid-e Umar. Why? This masjid doesn't belong to Maulana Muhammad, Maulana Dawood, or the committee, or anybody. We are all khadims. What are we? Khadims. This masjid belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is waqf. That is why the mas'ala is like that. So right on top, all the way on top, it's still the qibla. And you cannot do anything because right on top, all the way, that is still called the masjid. What is it called? A masjid. Why? Because Kaaba and Baytul Ma'mur are connected. What is it? Kaaba and Baytul Ma'mur are connected. So that entire zone is also called what? Qibla. What is it called? Qibla. So that is why the journey of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam started there. Now this journey, brothers will know that when you have somebody who is a special person, dignitaries, you know, when you have leaders that visit one country to another country, so much preparation is done. So for an example, if somebody was going to come, so much preparation in that city is done, the capital city, an entourage, police, security, safety, all that is done well before the coming of someone who is a dignitary. Now the greatest Nabi, Muhammad Mustafa Mujtaba sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed him the great honor and the same honor. And so to accompany him in this journey, the best of the angels were selected. The best of the angels were selected. Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam and Hazrat Mikael alayhi salatu wasalam. Jibreel and Mikael. And then, just like when you have somebody who is going to come, a special car, a very luxury car, subhanallah, for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, there was this special transportation, and that transportation is also called Buraq, subhanallah. This vehicle only for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Nobody has ever sat on this Buraq before and after him. So this was only for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now this Buraq, Barqun in the Arabic language means the speed of light. But this is Barq. It's not Barq, it is Buraq. Buraq is the plural of Barqun. So that means this speed is immeasurable. What is it? The speed of light is different. That is Barq. But Allah is saying this is not Barq, it is Buraq. What is it? Buraq. So actually you can't even measure the speed. So this is telling you how fast it was for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So just to give you an example, the speed of light would mean that in a single second, if someone traveled the speed of light, it means that he can travel in 1 second 7.5 times in this world, the entire world. What will he do? 7.5 times for him to travel the whole world, all the way around, in 1 single second. In 1 single second. And that is the speed of light. 7.5 times you are traveling around the whole world in a single second. That is the speed. So Jerusalem and Makkah Mukarramah, 1,485 kilometers only. That is the kilometers. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from Makkah to Jerusalem. So now can you imagine? There is, you can't even say a second or less than a second. What do you come up with? How did Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam get there? So this is an indication to tell us how fast Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, subhanallah, it took him to travel. Now, his traveling was fast, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the same time, because this was a very miraculous journey, a lot of the things were also shown to him, and that is by the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this journey started from Makkah Mukarramah, destination was Jerusalem. Destination was Jerusalem. Jerusalem is the capital of, bole, look at you people, they are so quiet today. Jerusalem is the capital for? Palestine. Okay. Dam hi nahi hai Musalman. What are these people going to do jihad fi sabil? Dam hi nahi hai. Jerusalem is the capital for? bole bhai, Palestine. Subhanallah ilazim. And so Jerusalem was so important that ulama have mentioned Allah's Nabi was taken there, number one reason, because it is the land of the prophets, the blessed land. But number two, the ulama say more importantly, Allah wanted to bless that land by the presence of Rasulullah. Do you understand, brothers? One is the value of that land. The value of that land. But the value is even more when the greatest Nabi is there. So to increase the value and the honor and the status of that land, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam was taken from Makkah, and for him to step into the area of Al-Quds. And so when he got to Al-Quds, mashaAllah ta'ala, this was again to increase the honor of this great area. Number three, ulama have given a reason. This was an opportunity for people to accept Islam. The Arabs in Makkah Mukarrama, they knew for a fact that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam has never traveled to Jerusalem. This is something they knew really well. And if Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam was to tell them that I've been to Jerusalem, then this will open up an opportunity for them to debate and argue and to ask questions. So that is why he also went there. They knew that he hasn't been there. And this is what exactly happened. Abu Jahl started making masti and mocking that, he says he's been to Jerusalem, and then he says he's been to the heavens. But khair, they started off with Jerusalem. So they came to him and they said, you've been to Jerusalem, you've seen that Al-Quds in front of you. He said, yes. So some people said to him, okay, tell us how many doors there are, how many gates there are. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave them the answer to every question. And then they said that, okay, there is one caravan that is about to leave Al-Quds and come back to Makkah Mukarrama. Can you tell us where this caravan is? So Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, I know exactly where this caravan is. And I will tell you on the third day, this kafla, this caravan shall enter Makkah Mukarrama. Shall enter Makkah Mukarrama. And on the third day, this kafla actually entered Makkah Mukarrama. Allahu Akbar. So this was actually an opportunity that was given to these people to accept Islam. That is why, my respected brothers and elders, that alhamdulillah, although you might see in the world that we live in, there is a lot of people who will speak about Islam, Islamophobia, this and that. But at the same time, this will not be an excuse for human beings on the day of Qiyamah, especially in this modern world. So on the day of Qiyamah, when they will see Jannah and Jahannam, paradise and hellfire, and then for people to actually see that, then they will come to their senses. Are they going to make excuses that, you know what? Oh, you know, we didn't know about Islam. We haven't heard about Islam. We haven't heard about Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We haven't heard about the Quran. So today in this modern world, you can be deaf and blind to everything, but you can't be deaf and blind to Islam. You really can't be deaf and blind to Islam. Allah has opened up Islam so much, so much. Subhanallah al-Azim. You know, we were in South Africa, and as we were traveling, so traveling from one end to another end, and we saw some of the poor Africans there, they were selling t-shirts with the face of Osama bin Laden on it. Now, you wonder, in Africa, So who is this man, Osama bin Laden? This is going many, many years back. And they say, abide, abide, Osama, Osama, Osama. This was in South Africa. But Islam has opened up everywhere. Where is it? Islam has opened up everywhere. And in a way, this is an opportunity for someone who is neutral with an open mind to actually study Islam. What is it? To study Islam and to think about Islam. Subhanallah. That is why the Indian Muslims have to be very clever in this election that is coming. Why? Because the Hindu community have already decided that this will be otherwise the last election ever in India. Because we are not going to have Jamhuriyat anymore. There will be no elections thereafter. It will be run by the Hindu doctrine. It will be run by the Hindu doctrine. And eventually, Adhan won't be given. Madrasas will be shut. This is the future for the Indian Muslims. The same mistake they did last time. Because what happens, the same thing we do also here in our city. Oh, Labour Party, my grandfather used to support Labour. So you split your votes. What do you do? What do you do? You split your votes, nothing happens. Nothing happens. But you are supposed to see how, as a unity, you can challenge something and how you can win. Wallah, if the Indian Muslims don't wake up now, things are going to be very, very bad. Very bad. Allahu Akbar. Going to be, you'll see a lot of bloodshed in that part of the world. And so we must pray, and we must also think and inform the brothers that are there, by what are you people doing? What are you people doing? Are we just going to be divided? Have we got no intelligence? How it is? So we have to be very, very careful anywhere in the world, my respected brothers and elders. So khair Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, now when he comes to this zone to show the importance of Jerusalem and Masjid Aqsa. Jerusalem and Masjid Aqsa. This is very important to the Muslim people also. And Allah give strength to the Palestinian Muslims. Amen. Allahu Akbar. Subhanallah al-Azim. Subhanallah. If ever Masjid Aqsa is shut, you will find that these Palestinian brothers, mashallah, at the gates, outside, 5 times a day, in their hundreds, standing there and praying their namaz. Allahu Akbar. What iman they have. And they are doing farz-e-kifaya on behalf of the Muslims. This is farz-e-kifaya. Really, Masjid Aqsa belongs to all 1.9 billion Muslims. But it is these people that are actually taking the lead. Allah give them jazai khair. And Allah give them the strength. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make things easy for them. Allah's Nabi is there now. He gets to Masjid Aqsa. And subhanallah, now what happens? That there is this carriage, or the hadith says, ثُمَّ أُوتِيَ بِالْمَعْرَاجِ, that Mi'raj was brought down for Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, like this very luxury, beautiful lift, or whatever it is. There, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam steps inside with Jibreel Amin, and this is the second part of the journey. Within no time, Allah's Nabi stops in the heavens at the first location. It is called the first Asman. What is it? The first heaven. The first heaven. Now, you might be wondering, when he got to the first heaven, Jibreel alayhi salatu was salam had to identify himself, and he had to knock on the gates of the heavens, and there was this communication, who is it? So I'm Jibreel, who is with you? And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, yes, we have been told that only we can open the door for this great Nabi. And the door was opened up. This is to show that there is so much security in the heavens. What is it? So much security in the heavens. There is no possibility for anyone to trespass the boundaries. No possibility. That is why you will find that Subhanallah, even Jibreel alayhi salam, when it came for revelation, he could not come down whenever he wanted. He could only come down only with the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there is complete security and the heavens have been guarded, totally guarded. And so Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went inside and then he went to the second heavens. There he saw the two cousins, Isa alayhi salam and Yahya alayhi salam. Then he went to the third asman. Third asman mein kaun the? Hazrat-e ji Yusuf alayhi salam. Hazrat-e Yusuf alayhi salam. Then he went to the fourth asman. There was Hazrat-e Idris alayhi salam. Then he went to the fifth asman. There he saw Hazrat-e Harun alayhi salam. And then he went on the sixth asman heavens. There he saw Hazrat-e Musa alayhi salam. And then he went to the seventh heaven. This was right on the top. This is where Baitul Ma'mur was. There he was given the opportunity to meet his father, Hazrat-e Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. And it comes that he spent a lot of time with his father Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. He was talking with him, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and Allah, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, gave him nasiha, as in, one of the nasiha is mentioned in the hadith, that tell your ummah that your ummah can become very, very wealthy, very, very rich. And one entire section of Jannat needs to be cultivated. It is all empty. And how you can harvest that part of Jannah is by saying Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. So every time you are doing tasbih, you are taking ownership of that Jannah. Subhanallah. So a lot of words were exchanged. And then Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw beautiful children that were playing. All the children were around him. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa sallam was there. As if he was the one who was looking after the children. So the malaika said to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, these are the children who were born in dunya, but they passed away before becoming baligh. Before they were mature. Before they could mature. So now, until a person is not mature, there is no test for him. So these people are part of the heavens and they will also go to Jannah. So these are all the children that were with Hazrat-e Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Then the malaika take Hazrat-e Nabi-e Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam and he is now taken, you know, to the boundary line of the heavens. What is it? The boundary lines of the heavens. So, Subhanallah, and Jibreel alayhi salam and all the malaika say, this is the line, and this boundary is marked by this incredible tree. It is called Sidratil Muntaha. What is it? Sidratil Muntaha. It is a tree, very huge tree. And this tree is the covering, that is the boundary, and nobody can go further than that. Malaika, they know their space. This is it. This is how much we can go. And then after that, Sidratil Muntaha is Jannatul Ma'wa. What is it? Jannatul Ma'wa. Jannatul Ma'wa, again, nobody has seen that. Nobody has also seen that part. So right on top we are talking about now, Subhanallah al-Azim. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was then given way. And that journey was by himself. So all the way from Makkah Sharif until Sidratil Muntaha, who accompanied him? Jibreel alayhi salam. All the way till there. But then thereafter, Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went. And that is where the ulama don't do a lot of kalam and everything actually stops there. And this was the meeting between Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But imagine, my respected brothers and elders, that one action today that we don't take very seriously, is salah. And salah was given as a gift to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam in Mi'raj, right up in the heavens where nobody could have ever gone there. And how much salah was given to him? 50 salah. How many? 50 salah. We should thank Musa alayhi salam. We should thank Musa alayhi salam. And Musa alayhi salam was reducing this salah. And then from 50 to 5. 50 to 5. In fact, Musa alayhi salam was so tired of Banu Israel that he compared Banu Israel with this ummah. He said to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, "Oh my brother Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, I have been in the world, and obviously Allah's Nabi, this was in the early days of his Nabuwat. So I have already seen the people and their attitude. Today, insan is like that. Today you can't trust nobody. Today you can't trust nobody. Qassam thi bhi kehne qassam. With the full makhraj. Qassam, bas qassam. How many people say that? Qassam. Yeah? And that is, he's the biggest liar. What is he? The one who says qassam is the biggest liar. They are the chores of the time. Allah forgive us. Muslims, this is very cheap. What is it? No value. When they speak lies. They cheat. They do everything. Allah forgive us. Amen. Allahu Akbar Kabira. And this is why Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala in Mina was thirsty. So he came to this old lady's house. He says, "Amma, I want water." So she says, "There's no water." So, "Amma, okay, milk." "No milk." So this young girl from inside the room says, "Amma, when will you stop lying? Amma, when will you stop lying? We've got milk. He's a musafir." They thought he was a musafir, Hazrat Umar Farooq. And she came out with a glass of milk and she gave it to Hazrat Umar. It was very hot and Hazrat Umar was drinking. And then Hazrat Umar inquired and he said to his son Asim, Asim, look at this, today, when the mother and father will say, "Beta, I want you to get married to this girl," "Dad, who are you to tell me?" "Dad, who are you to tell me?" And then when his girl gives him the hard time, then they run to dad. Where do they run? They run to dad. First they didn't like dad. First they didn't like mom. First they had an allergy with mom and dad. But subhanallah, 10 years down the line, that's too much. Few years down the line, they're now mummy and daddy. Kya mummy and daddy? Ab mummy and daddy. Ab tujhe mummy daddy yaad hai. Look how disciplined the children were. Hazrat Umar is saying, "Asim, I want you to marry this girl. A girl poor in Mina. Nothing, no finance, no nothing. Nobody knew of this girl. And she becomes the daughter-in-law of Hazrat Umar Farooq." She becomes the daughter-in-law of Umar. And the son says, "Abba, whatever you tell me, I will marry. Because is there a greater man than you, the wisdom that you have?" He says, "Beta, I have seen this woman, that this woman has got a true nature, a tongue that speaks the truth. And that womb," what did he say? "That womb is the best womb from which a child can come out. When the mother is that truthful, and she goes on to become one of the grandmother of the famous Umar bin Abdul Aziz. She becomes the grandmother of Hazrat Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, who they would say he is the second Umar of this ummah. The second Umar of this ummah. Allahu Akbar. So Allah's Nabi was given namaz, salah, to pray. Subhanallah. And to be regular in your salah. 5 times a day. This was the gift that was given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to this ummah. And this is the miraculous journey of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that is why, my respected brothers, never doubt Jannah. Why? Your Nabi has seen Jannah. Allah's Nabi has seen Jannah. Allah's Nabi has seen Jannah. Allah's Nabi has seen Jahannam. Allah's Nabi has seen all of the prophets. And he has seen the prophets in such a way that in this journey, he was the imam of more than 100,000 messengers. He was the imam. And so we are the followers of that great Nabi. So that is why the youth that are here, especially my respected, mashallah, friends and the youth that are here, the youngsters, regular in your salah. Regular in your salah. And salah and this majlis, these gatherings are so important. Go to colleges, go to universities, go to other places. Bring your friends. Bring your friends. Mashallah. Entice them. We will listen. 45 minutes. Mashallah. These majalis are like shields for your iman. What are they? Shields for your iman. And if you walk without a shield in this day and age, kufr and everything can enter your hearts. That is why, alhamdulillah, Ramadan is coming, the month of Shaban is coming. Be prepared. More and more people, mashallah, take out time and you will see, inshallah, you will benefit greatly. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Allahumma taqabbal minna wa tub alayna innaka anta at-tawwabur rahim. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Sami'na wa ata'na ghufranaka rabbana wa ilayka al-masir. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.